All right, everyone. Looks like we've got a quarter past, so I'm going to go ahead and get started. First of all, how many people here are enjoying the Ignite conference so far? Raise your hands. Come on. Is it a great conference? Yes. Awesome technology. Great announcements. Wonderful partners. This is a fantastic experience. I love Ignite. My name is Tom Wisnowski, and I'm a program manager within Fast Track, responsible for OneDrive and SharePoint migrations. And I'm here with Steven to talk about how Fast Track can help you move data to Office 365. So, show of hands, how many people here have ever gone through a physical move? Like you've moved into a new home, a new apartment, maybe it was a dorm room. I mean, raise your hand, come on. All right, come on, conference coma, you're all awake. Of course, we've all done this. Now, what if I told you that that move is similar to the experience you might get to moving to the cloud? Right, so you're moving to the cloud, new neighborhood, right? Hopefully you have nice neighbors, they're not noisy, right? That's a little virtualization joke for you if you get it. Obviously, lots of great new features. You got the upgraded appliances, the cabinets, upgraded security if you're going to our cloud. So it's a great thing, so it's super exciting. But after you make the decision to move, what do you have to do next? You have to move, you have to actually move in. Right? So what do? You pick up your stuff, you decide, all right, I can do this. How hard is it going to be? I'm just going to start getting my stuff over into my new home. Right? So maybe you call up your friend Steve and say, hey, you know what? Come down and let me borrow your pickup truck. I'm going to move some stuff. Maybe you make the wrong decision. That looks like a little bit more stuff than I try to move in a pickup. Maybe that was the wrong process or the wrong tool. Also, have you ever had the experience of moving something into your home and you're moving this couch and you realize there is no way this thing is going to fit through my front door? Right, so what do you do at that point, right? Break out the hacksaw, right? Maybe you should have done some assessment, maybe thought about it up front before you attempted it. What about after you finally get that couch into that new home, right? You plop it down in your living room and you look at it and you go, this doesn't go with anything, right? This does not match any of my decor, what I want to go with. And then you realize, wow, why did I even go through the effort of moving it in the first place? By the end of the day, what's the family look like? Everybody's frustrated, you've got boxes everywhere, the kids, HR and finance, they're tired and frustrated, they don't want to move anymore, they're like, why did we do this? You know, and it can be a frustrating experience, but that's where Fast Track is here to help. Think of Fast Track conceptually as those movers, right? We're here to help you assess your environment, understand what you're moving, why you're moving it, come up with the right process, use the right tools to get you into that new home without a lot of risk and frustration. We'll help you prepare for the migration, and then the best part is we actually, in many cases, we do the migration. And unlike moving into your real home, our migration and our movers are free for all those qualifying Office 365 customers. So why wouldn't you want to explore leveraging Fast Track benefits because you are already an Office 365 customer? Now, I'd like to introduce Steven to talk a little bit about what we've been doing recently in Fast Track.
Hey, everybody. Oh, let me turn it on first. Hi, right, can you hear me?
Not yet. Okay, that's good. So, I'm Steve. I'm also a program manager on Fast Track. I'll be honest, and Tom and I talked about this before. We really wanted to nerd out, get deep on technical aspects, go into real specific questions. With 45 minutes, we can't do that. So we'll keep it up a level just a little bit. We'll go into some topics here. But the idea is to give you a good sense of what we are about, how we can help you, and a little bit of patting on the back on the numbers that we're dealing with. Yes, super proud. A lot of users migrated, a lot of data migrated, a lot of customers we've helped. It actually goes beyond the 2 years that we've been doing this under Fast Track. So we've got a lot of really sharp technical consultants, support staff, design engineers that have been working with the different platforms we're talking about, and we'll get into the different platforms later. If you're familiar with the services description, you'll probably recognize some of these logos. And you might even see one on there that you thought maybe we couldn't have helped you with. I'm going to hold that. I'll let Tom give you the big reveal later, but we'll talk about some of the other platforms that are in scope for migration. Another small sample of the customers we've worked with, but obviously a ton more that that represents our partnership. So before we get into the migration types, let's talk about the engagement. And I'm going to try to continue the analogy with the moving company. Like Tom mentioned, there's an assessment period, right? Someone comes in, they helps you assess what you've got in your home, you know, what types of furniture, in this case, what type of data you have, what you might want to do with it, your options, what it may look like in your new home or in Office 365. Talk about what to expect on the next few phases. Now, I'm sure people have had relos where a moving company's come in and helped you with everything, right? Some people, they've come in, they've boxed all your stuff for you, taped everything up, unboxed it, put all your silverware together, and hung up your clothes. It's great, right? I hope you've also experienced the other type of move where you've done it yourself. Because honestly, that's what Fast Track is. It's not the white glove service. I don't want to poo-poo it. It's great. Customers love it. But there's a shared accountability. This is how we're able to scale and do it efficiently, effectively, for the least impact for your users. Yes, it's more efficient and it costs less for us to do it this way. You got me there. But it's really about getting you faster, getting you to the cloud faster, effectively, efficiently. So the next few phases, remediate and enable, it's kind of the similar vein. We're going to help you. We're going to guide you. If you're moving your refrigerator and it doesn't fit through the door, they might say, hey, pop the hinges off. If your banister's broken and you can't get the boxes down without breaking your neck, they're going to say, fix that banister. We're going to do the same thing. We're going to help you identify those blockers for you to get there. You might have to do some of the things. You likely have to do a lot of the things on your side. But since you're the owner of that data or stuff we're moving, that makes sense, right? We'll guide you, but it's a shared responsibility. Now, the last phase, migrate, this is where we actually provide a whole lot of value for it because we're doing the heavy lifting for you. It's like we're getting in the truck. We're moving your stuff over there. You're going to have to do some planning, some scheduling. But for the most part, we're going to get you there. We're going to give you some status updates. We're going to be on the walkie-talkie. We're going to be like, hey, we're 1 mile away, and we're almost there. Or, sorry, we dropped the box, and we'll have to fix it. But at the end of the day, we're going to give you a report that tells you what happened. And we'll go into the details later on the follow-up slides. So, when we're talking about email migrations, depending on where you're coming from, will dictate what you experience in Office 365. So if you're coming from Exchange on-premises, which is a very common scenario, you're going to the cloud, that's like moving your wardrobe. You're gonna pretty much get in your new closet what you got from your old closet. You can probably take the coat hangers and put them over there, and it's going to look almost exactly the same. Maybe you'll drop a sock, maybe you'll pop a button, maybe lose a shirt. That's okay. It does happen. But for the most part, we see high success rates moving that wardrobe over there. If you're talking about coming from Gmail, GroupWise, Lotus Notes, it's kind of like moving your living room. We're going to get your big stuff, your email, your contacts, your calendar, or like your TV and your sofa and your coffee table, the stuff you need. However, let's imagine that the furniture was given to you by your in-laws, right? You can take it. I mean, it's yours. You can take it with you. No one's going to stop you. You even got that card that says, congratulations, enjoy the furniture. But now you're telling them, we're moving across the country. We don't need your babysitting help anymore. We're taking the family. We're getting out of here. Maybe they're going to be happy. Maybe not. Maybe they'll be upset. Maybe they'll sit on that couch while you're moving it away. Maybe they'll try to take the cushions back. I don't know. Here's the point. Don't be discouraged. We've talked with those pesky in-laws before. We know how to talk to them. We know how to make them feel okay. We know how to sneak the furniture out of there without them knowing. It's just setting the right expectation that depending on where you're coming from again, your experience might change. But here's the focus. Sometimes if you buy new furniture in your new location, you're gonna be happier anyway, right? The stuff matches, it works better. You leave the stuff that's old, you get rid of it, you do some spring cleaning. That's very, very viable. So when we talk about files in OneDrive, files and going into OneDrive and SharePoint, it's kind of the same concepts where, depending on where you're coming from, will dictate what it looks like in the new environment. So we definitely do, we definitely move your content from file shares into OneDrive for Business or SharePoint. If you're coming from Google Drive, it can go to OneDrive for Business. And if you're coming from Box, it can go to either one as well. It's also a good opportunity to say, like I mentioned before, you might be one of the rare companies out there that are not gonna try to upsell you and try to get you to move everything, right? We're not trying to make the money here. We're not making money, it's free, like Tom said. But we're trying to get you there as fast as possible so you can enjoy your new home. We love what we do. We're all about migration, but that's not our end goal. We want you to be happy. So if you want to do some spring cleaning, if your business supports that, leave it behind. We're fully supportive of that. Do it. Go for it. But if you do need that critical information, we'll take it with you. We'll take it for you. So files, file and folder structure, metadata, permissions, that's all coming forward, regardless of where you're coming from. So I mentioned the little reveal. Now it's time to pass it back.
All right, thank you, Steve.
Okay, so who was in Jeff Teper's session about all the great enhancements we were making to SharePoint on Monday? Raise your hand if you happen to catch that. So you probably caught what we're gonna be talking about. Starting this week, we have now announced a new offer to help you migrate your SharePoint on-premises environments to Office 365. Is that a good thing? Yes? Yes, how many people here have SharePoint? Yep, oh, of course, absolutely. How many people here have done self-migration, have tried it themselves? Okay, great. I'm hoping you had a great experience. You've probably used one of our great partners that's in attendance today, and hopefully everything went well. But you probably also realize that there's a lot of complexity to a SharePoint move. And so we're happy to announce that we're now finally going to be helping customers free of charge move that SharePoint content from SharePoint on-prem to SharePoint and OneDrive. Now, what we're focusing on primarily is My Sites to OneDrive and Team Sites to SharePoint Team Sites. It doesn't necessarily mean we're limited to those site definitions, but the idea is we're looking for your collaboration content. And more importantly, what we're not migrating is really your custom applications and portals. If you spent a lot of time and energy developing these custom solutions, those are something that take a little bit more time and effort to plan, really don't fit well into a velocity migration movement, so that's really not our focus. Included in this benefit, so similar to everything else we've talked about at this point, we do an assessment. If you've heard the announcements, actually Microsoft has shipped a free SharePoint assessment tool. I encourage everybody to download that tool. It's a release candidate available today. It'll help you identify content in your environment, help you make better decisions about what you want to migrate and what you potentially want to remediate, either pre or post-migration. We're going to help you with that planning and guidance. So you're going to run those tools, but we're going to get that output, and we're going to help you understand what exactly that tool is telling you is in your environment and how it impacts your migration. We're going to help you decide what should migrate, what maybe needs a little bit more attention before we migrate it, and make sure that you're ultimately successful with your migration project. We do the content migration. So again, free of charge. The tools we use, the environments we use, all that completely free. We just simply do the migration and you validate the results. We do also include some lightweight communications and change management features as part of the process. Moving SharePoint team sites sometimes can be a pretty big change for an organization, right? There's a completely different URL. Sometimes there's known challenges that end users have to expect when they look at their migrated site. They have to know when their site's moving and what to expect and where their data is gonna flow. So we help you communicate that to your end users with some lightweight tooling that we'll provide as part of the benefit. And then, of course, we provide testing and support. So we're always looking at making sure that the migration waves are successful, we'll remediate any issues. And then we work with your organization and your site owners to triage any types of issues that they may identify as part of the migration. So we're there end-to-end to help you be successful. Now, if we take a deeper look at exactly what we migrate, sorry about the 0.5 font, you'll actually see this on the web. So when you go out and take a look at the offer, we go into detail specifically what is and is not migrated as part of the Fast Track benefit. But if you think about it conceptually, really what we're focused on is the site structure, right? So we're going to move your site collections more or less as is from source to target. We're going to recreate all those sites and subsites. We're going to create those lists and libraries. And then we're going to move those permissions, right? So the site permissions, the library permissions, and then finally focus on your content. Your content primarily being your documents, your list items, attachments, et cetera. And in addition, you do get your pages and you will have workflows, but there could be some known issues that you will have to address as part of the migration. Now, some of those known issues, right? So these are some additional items that may need some additional planning and remediation, things you might want to do before your migration to fix up some of this content, or content you may need to fix post-migration. This is not the all-inclusive extensive list, but these are the most common things that we've identified. So, not going to spend the time going through each one of these now, but really the question is, what happens if you have this in your environment? Or better yet, how do I know if I maybe have a list with a million items in it, or if I'm using sandbox solutions extensively? That's what that assessment tool is going to help you identify. And we're going to help look at those results and tell you specifically where those instances live and provide you some remediation guidance so you can go back to those end users or maybe even fix it yourself. Some options include staying on premises, right? So there might be some sites that just make sense to stay on-prem. They may have extensive customizations, they may have deep integration with line of business systems, and there may not be an ROI for you to actually remediate that and move it. So in that case, what we want to do is help you configure hybrid so that you can connect the user experience between your cloud and on-premises environment so that your end user has really the best experience possible. Other options, we can certainly look at content-only migrations. So this is really popular. You've probably heard that we don't have full trust code in the cloud. That's very much true. But a lot of times, we find that these solutions could be simple things like branding. And you may say, hey, you know what? I want to leave that branding solution behind. I don't want to manage it anymore. I want to adopt Office 365. Can you please still help me move my content? Absolutely. That's the beauty of the process. We can do a content extraction, copy that content into the cloud. Other times, you may want to actually implement some custom solutions, maybe some add-ins, post-migration, and that's certainly an option for you as well, or simply rebuilding in the cloud. So conceptually, how does this work? So there's a couple different patterns that you're going to see in how we migrate data. So in some cases, let's pretend we're coming from a cloud provider. Maybe you're coming from Google Drive or Box or in the future maybe Dropbox, Gmail. These are very simple migration patterns because we're able to establish a cloud migration factory either with first-party or third-party tools and help you move your content with really no changes required in your environment, right? So you don't have to provision any additional infrastructure. Really, it's just about providing us the access we need and we're going to move that content for you. And that's a great experience. Now, the second pattern is really what we see most commonly, especially in the SharePoint space, where we're going to set up an Azure migration factory for you. So what that means is we're going to spin up a custom subscription dedicated just for you. We're not going to reuse it with any other customer. It's going to be your subscription. We're going to pay for it, manage it for you. We're going to stand up migration infrastructure. We're going to install the tools that we use from our wonderful partners that help us do migrations. Again, all free of cost to you. And we're going to migrate your content using that factory to the cloud. Now, in some instances, this is going to be you're shipping content to us and we're performing the migration from our cloud. In other cases, we actually will remote into your environment and run migration infrastructure directly from within your data center to help you move your content out. And so that's the little VPN connection you see at the bottom there. So that is actually one of the requirements for many of our migration benefits. So a couple things just to keep in mind as you're preparing for a fast-track migration. So the first thing, and actually this is just general guidance, you really want to think about migration as something that supports your adoption strategy, but isn't the only part of the adoption strategy. Think about how you can leverage Office 365 day one, right? Are there new capabilities that you can just light up? For instance, maybe you don't have OneDrives today and you want to provide that capability to your end users. Give it to them. Don't wait until you've migrated to your entire SharePoint environment. Go hybrid. Maybe you want to start using things like Dell, right? So maybe it help, you know, configuring the hybrid search capabilities will light up that feature without moving a single bit of data. Stop provisioning on-prem. Seems kind of obvious, but stop the bleeding, right? Don't continue to build new things on-premises when we're in the middle of migrating you to the cloud. Think about your site provisioning solutions and how you're going to potentially replace those with something that works with your new cloud environment. And you want to start getting users out there as soon as possible. Focus on the high-value content, right? We don't have to move everything. Right? That's a key lesson. You don't need to move 10 years worth of legacy file share archive data. Think about what's really useful to your end users. Think about what's active content, things that they want to collaborate around, and focus on that content first. Look at other options to maybe move some of that archive data. There's other Azure solutions that could be a better fit for that type of data. Work out the remote access requirement. So many times as we start projects, we found that once we get to the point where we need to get remote access, there may be some additional questions asked by your security teams. Maybe there's some additional processes that have to be followed to get hard tokens, whatever the case may be. Just know that going in, that it's very likely, depending on the type of migration, we're going to need remote access. So just start working through those processes as soon as possible. The quicker you're able to provide us the prerequisites needed for migration, the sooner we can get engaged, the faster your data will move. Plan communications and end user support. So we talked about, we do provide some high level communications capabilities, emails we send, et cetera. But really, you do want to think about this from an organizational change standpoint and really make sure you've thought through how you're going to prepare your end users for this migration moment, right? What can they expect? Where should they go to get help? What happens if there's an issue? And then your help desk, really think about that, right? Understand that, they're probably going to pick up the phone day one. If they can't get to their email or, for instance, they can't find their team site, they're going to call your help desk, and your help desk better know that, oh, yeah, you're going through a migration, and here's how we can triage this issue. And then finally, think about how you want to approach your migration from a schedule standpoint. Are you going to be migrating specific users that are part of a business unit? Is it maybe based on geography? Do you have maybe a pilot set of users that are very friendly to migration, that are going to work with you closely, and that's going to be the set of users we want to focus on? Try not to be very ad hoc about how you're scheduling users for migration. We can certainly support it. There's always the options of changing scheduling windows and who you're actually scheduled for migration. But when you do that, you actually impact our ability to run at velocity, right? So the more last minute changes we deal with, just the harder it is to really move a large amount of data at high velocity. So what to think about or know during your migration? Throughput and velocity really is going to vary, right? That's probably one of the most common questions I get. How long is this migration going to take? There's different variables that impact the different types of migrations that we do. So that's why we don't have a calculator tell you specifically it's going to be X for this amount of file share data. But you also need to consider that as part of our migration process, when we do the test migrations, the velocity you may see for one wave may not be the exact velocity you can expect during the lifetime of your project. So if your project's maybe going on for a couple months, there's going to be some ebbs and flows. There's going to be a little bit of maybe spikes where we see tremendous throughput, and then maybe it drops off a bit. It's not to discourage you or to be alarmed. It's something we expect. If we do see consistent degradation of performance, we investigate it. But just going into the project, know that these things are going to happen. Our migration teams are going to need some IT support. So we talked about we're going to remote into your environment. We're using some of your infrastructure with the software that we'll provide. Chances are, things happen, right? Maybe someone locks us out. We can't access those machines that you provided. Maybe they don't have the connectivity that we thought we had. In any case, we need to make sure that we have a way to work with your support teams so that we can quickly get these problems resolved so that we can support the migration. And then finally, take a look at when you're looking at a migration benefit, understand the types of communications that we send, and be prepared to look at those communications and then work with your change org to make sure that the appropriate messages are being sent out to your end users. So you're gonna get notification when we kick off migration events, obviously status as data is flowing throughout a migration window. We'll give you the completion status, so how many files, mailboxes, et cetera, were successfully moved, maybe ones that had issues and need to be investigated further. So just when you onboard and when we walk you through the process, we'll give you examples of these reports, and then you can think about how you're gonna use those in your own organization. So after migration, so the first thing you really wanna do is be prepared to validate the results. So we're always gonna provide detailed reporting to show you what we think did and maybe did not migrate. But you also wanna make sure that end users are looking at their data and there's a process in place that they can submit tickets on issues so that we can triage them just in case it might be migration related. You wanna inform the end users that their migration is complete. We actually provide some communication tools to do that. But again, think about how you maybe wanna do that at a broader scale throughout your organization. Decommissioning your environments. So this is something we don't do. So this is something that we recommend after your migration, you keep your source environments around for a period of time, hopefully read-only, that's what we always recommend. And once you're comfortable that the end users have all the data they need and the migration was successful, then think about your decommission strategy, right? When do you wanna turn off those file shares? When do you want to maybe turn off those G drives, for instance? Deploying clients, so we also do help in this space as well. So if you're in a process of deploying Office Pro Plus, maybe it's the next-gen sync client for OneDrive, we can help you with that as well. So think about that as part of the migration. Make sure that the end users are ready to get the full experience as they're getting their data migrated. And then we talked about this, the help desk support. So definitely prepare your help organization to be able to support their end users and support the cloud platform post-migration. We can provide some guidance, but that's definitely an exercise that you want to invest time in. So some of the top questions that we do get in these migration projects. The number one question is always, how long does it take? Again, it just simply depends. It depends on your environment, the amount of data, the source platform, number of variables that really don't allow us to give you an accurate view of how long your particular migration will take. We'll provide you some ranges. We'll definitely tell you examples of other projects and how quickly data is flowing. But again, we need to test within your environment, and even then, there could be some ebbs and flows. How much does it cost? That's a beautiful question, because the answer is zero. All right, for qualifying Office 365 customers, this migration benefit is free. There is a little bit of cost that you may incur as for the infrastructure that we require, so the migration infrastructure you're gonna deploy for us. But the Azure infrastructure, the software subscriptions for the migration tools that we use, everything is included and free. Where do you keep my data, and then how long are you gonna hold on to it? The end goal of our migrations is we do not want to hold on to your data for any period of time. We don't want to look at your data, it's your data. We just simply want to help you move it. Now, depending on the type of migration, if you're doing a mail migration, especially from Exchange, it's very hands-off. We can't even see your mail, right? We execute some remote commands and Exchange does the rest. In other instances, maybe we're moving file shares, SharePoint, for instance. Yep, you're gonna ship us the data. Now, we're going to be holding that data within Azure Blob Containers within a subscription that's dedicated for your environment, so we get all the great protections of Azure Storage. And we only hold on to that data for as long as we need it for the migration window. So once we're 100% confident that the migration window is successful and you said, yep, we agree, these sites moved or these files moved, we're gonna go ahead and destroy that blob. We never reuse it, definitely not even within your project or across another customer. And we'll destroy that as quickly as possible. And then at the end of the project, when we're satisfied that the migration is 100% complete, we tear down that entire subscription. So it is completely gone, no chance that we can recover it or there's any type of data leakage possibility. Do we need admin access? Depending on the migration scenario, yes. Yep, so we are gonna require, typically in the source environment, because we're gonna do some provisioning, especially on the SharePoint side, we do require service admin access to do that. Can I migrate myself? Absolutely. So fast track migrations is just an option, right? We always want to make sure that every customer has the option to have a free migration and a great experience. If for whatever reason our service description doesn't meet your needs, maybe you don't like our process, that's great. There's tools in the market, partners that can help you with your migration, and you're more than able to do it on your own. What Fast Track does not do is provide the licenses and infrastructure in those scenarios. Right? So when you're getting a Fast Track migration, you're really signing on to our service and our benefit, and if you're doing it yourself, then you're going to want to invest in, you know, some of those third-party tools and maybe some of that infrastructure you need. Another common question is, why didn't X migrate? It's very common. Again, we use third-party tools, the same tools that are available to you today. Sometimes you might be very familiar with the tool that we'd be using for maybe, say, SharePoint migration. We get the question a lot, why does your service description not migrate X when I know tool Y does this migration? And the answer to that is, when we designed the process, we really had to think about how we could do this remotely and do it at scale. And to do that, we have to put a lot of automation around how the data is managed and how the data flows and how we use the tools. So many times, some of the features that may be available are things that we haven't worked into our automation yet, or maybe they're features that maybe don't work very well at the velocity we want to work at. And that's why we've made certain decisions about what features we will or won't support, and we put that in the service description. And we're happy to talk about that if you have detailed questions. And then we always get the question, can we run test migrations? Absolutely. We want to run test migrations. It's always part of our process. Test migration allows us to validate that infrastructure that we require from your end. Also validates the end-to-end data flows. We do want you to move from a test migration into a pilot in velocity, so we try to limit the amount of data that we move in a test. The test is really about, let's pick a few sample mailboxes, sites, whatever the case may be, run the migration, make sure that we get the expected result, and then let's schedule production users so that we get, production ROI out of that. All right. So just a sampling of some of the customers that we've worked with. I'm sure you recognize just a few of these customers. But one customer in particular I'd like to introduce you to is CSE. So CSE is here with us now. And I'd like to introduce Ali to come tell you about his experience using Fast Track as part of his migration for his organization.
Can you hear me? Yeah, good. All right, so Ali Shabin, I'm with CSC, CM. I'm the CTO for all of Workplace and Service Management Company, and intimately involved with our migration to Office 365. I'm gonna run you through the slides and go a little bit quick. I think we got more slides than time. So can we go to the next one real quick? Yeah. One more. All right, a little bit about us. We are a very large services company, managed service and consulting company, 60,000 plus people around the world. As you may or may not know, we are merging with HP Enterprise Services. So we're about to grow substantially more, and we will be probably in the top three largest IT services company when it's all said and done next April. One of the areas that we focused on last year was the migration of our own internal notes implementation. We had a global notes implementation to Office 365. CSC has been involved with Office 365 for a long time when it was called BPOS, for some of you who may know that acronym. So we've done BPOS since the beginning of time. But fortunately or unfortunately, we were the last ones ourselves to actually go to it for many different reasons. And then finally, last year, we said, that's it, we're going to move. The cost points are very compelling compared to what we're paying for notes licenses. Folks who are coming into the company, including myself, I'm fairly new, less than 3 years in CSC, looked at the notes client and we said we don't want to go back 20 years. We want to have something more modern to use for a collaboration tool. So the momentum built and we finally pulled the trigger on the migration. The migration actually was, relatively speaking, in terms of what I've done for the size, very smooth. I'll get into that in a second here with Fast Track. But there are some really interesting points that I want to highlight. So CSC is not only a consumer of Fast Track, we actually embed Fast Track in our own go-to-market offerings. So we did it for ourselves, and then we took that experience, packaged it up, and we offer the same experience, the fast migration path to Office 365 with Fast Track embedded to our client base. One particular area that's different maybe for us than most people is we really focused on a hybrid design. So that means that we have SharePoint that is in the cloud in Office 365 and on-prem, Skype that is on Office 365 and on-prem, and Exchange is on Office 365 and on-prem. The reason for that is we manage very, very strict, highly governed, compliant, and secure clients in the government sector, government contractors, financial, healthcare, that are demanding in terms of where documents get stored and what classes of documents get stored. And that was a real deal for us because it was very difficult to be able to construct a framework that could bridge the gap between full on cloud, full on-prem, and be in the middle of that and still allow CSC to manage both environments seamlessly and provide a seamless experience to our users. So that's one of the things that we did. And the third one was around CSC My Workstyle. So CSC My Workstyle is our next generation end-to-end end-user compute offering. It's a utility-based model around everything. So it's mail, SharePoint, voice, video, desktop management, VDI, whatever you can think of that touches the end user is within CSC My Workstyle. And again, one of our interest areas was to take the classic move to Office 365 solution that we had built and have this quick start, very rapid migration uptake using Fast Track and using MCS and using Microsoft really as an embedded partner. And that's what we did for ourselves. Next slide. So the business case for us was really simple. We were paying significant amount of money for Lotus Notes licenses. We did the math, and going to Office 365 really lowered that cost. It was really good. The user experience was, underestimate that one. It was a big deal to have a modern interface, modern tools, things that people were used to, both on mobile devices, as well as the traditional desktop laptops and tablets to offer to our employee base. They were screaming at it. We had a line forming of folks volunteering to be in a pilot to go to Office 365. So that was a really big deal for us. And then other things, like, for example, conferencing tools. Through the years, with acquisitions that we made, we were using WebEx, AT&T Connect, other tools. We wanted to have a very simple, unified platform, same experience. Video conferencing, audio conferencing was a big deal for us. And audio conferencing especially, we did the math, and the number of savings, the dollar savings was very, very substantial. And I think we achieved all of those objectives when we went to Office 365 with our implementation. We have lowered our costs substantially. The experience is much better. People are not screaming anymore. And we were able to have measurable savings in not just the core services, but the surround services itself. So it's been really, really good. We're expanding that footprint now to go to Cloud PBX with E5. We're looking at that and a lot of other things that are coming on board. And I'll talk about that in a second here, some of the challenges that we faced as we've made the migration. All right, so I mentioned that we have CSC My Workstyle. So we have an end-to-end solution that we sell to our customers. We price it per user. We can deliver it on-prem or in the cloud or hybrid. But one area that really was a big departure point for us was our own experience when we did the implementation with our pilot without Fast Track involved. We had to stand up infrastructure to run the conversion of notes databases to Exchange and SharePoint. We had to be able to really understand the mechanics of how Office 365 migration worked. We did it, and we were good at it, but the velocity wasn't there. So we really wanted to be able to go fast and have a very predictable, repeatable process, and that's really what Fast Track gave us. It gave us that they know how to do it. They live it day to day. These guys are mentioning it. They wake up every morning, think about migration. They go to sleep thinking about it. And then we want to be able to think about all the other things that we have to do in order to be successful. So let's go to the next slide here. The areas that we had to focus on in terms of being able to bring on a service were things that I'm sure you guys have encountered if you've gone and looked at the cloud. The biggest one was around directory services and ID and access. So that directory service connectivity, identity and access management, was a substantial piece of work for us. We actually did that work in collaboration with Fast Track and MCS because our perspective, again, was very different. We wanted to have a federated environment for identity and access to have the hybrid implementation. It proved to be quite difficult because even though it might be simple, for a customer to federate directly with the cloud, when you have a managed service provider in the middle who's actually managing both environments, the complexity factor is double, triple of what you might encounter. That took us a while to work with Microsoft to come up with that particular design. So we integrate with Azure Active Directory, with on-prem AD, FIM, MIM, AAD Connect, you got it. But you know, we basically have that framework now built, and that was the foundation for our hybrid service. The other thing that we recognized up front was change management, and I think somebody was bringing it up. Really, really a big deal, especially if you have a client base that is not familiar with the tools that you use every day to interact with the backend systems. So in this particular case, what we did was to create, when we have a full service desk that we run in the company, we hired 25 to 35 people whose job was only to sit and answer questions from folks who had issues interacting with Office 365. So you can call up and say, you know, I'm on Notes. In Notes, you used to be able to click this button, go to that menu, have an attachment. I can't find it anywhere here. How do I do an attachment? Something as simple as that, really big deal for people who are not used to the environment. And that desk, that special white glove service desk for the migration, really helped out being able to filter those questions. And any questions that came up, if they couldn't resolve them, they actually came back to my engineering team. They didn't even go to the service desk. So we bypassed the traditional go to level one, level two. If you couldn't resolve it at that white glove service, they came back to engineering. We took it on and we actually managed it. And there were some issues, real issues, with Notes migration, mailbox, you know, the types of folders that are set up. It gets really complicated. We had to work with Fast Track and Microsoft to resolve some of those things. That was a really big deal. And then the communication downwards in terms of the daily drumbeat of it's coming, get ready, here are the articles you have to read. We made videos, and that's, you know, we made YouTube videos, live videos, you know, videos and WebExes and whatever we had to do to educate our guys. And ultimately, the results were very powerful because of all the folks that we went and migrated over in the span of, I think, you know, 3-4 months, we had very, very few people who were frustrated, couldn't get the job done. Some of them were our fault. I mean, sometime, you know, one night, one guy went into Active Directory, mistyped a domain name. It caused an issue for a bunch of folks. I mean, we had stupidity at that level, but by and large, it was a really, really good experience. And again, the things that we liked about Fast Track was the fact that we could just give those guys that a very specific task, and for us then to focus on the global architecture, identity and access, security, user experience management, and just making sure that the process was managed end to end. We did the transition, and then be able to replicate that over and over again. So that's worked really well. SharePoint is coming online. We have a SharePoint, you know, the SharePoint migration is gonna happen. I'm sure we're gonna be banging on this door. They just told me that we're now using them to do Box to OneDrive. Didn't know we had Box users, but maybe that's the rogue IT thing, that's okay. So we're gonna do Box migrations, and as I said, as HP Enterprise Services and CSC begin to the merger, we're gonna be relying on these folks even more to be able to do not only just Notes to Exchange, but Exchange to Exchange, OneDrive, and other types of platforms that we have to combine the company, moving it forward. Very positive experience, and now they're embedded in our kit. Somebody asked me what didn't work. Actually, everything kind of worked for us, so I don't have anything negative to say. I would have said it in terms of the bad experience, but the thing that it really was a difference for us was we not only engaged Fast Track, we also engaged Microsoft Consulting right up front. And we had them come in, look at our environment, make sure that they could do an audit, they can pinpoint issues in the architecture, in the approach, data, whatever it had beforehand, so we can smooth those things out before we went over, and then leveraging Azure for the migrations, for the actual migration itself. We could do with a lower price point on that. You know, that could be nice to roll that into the licensing, but that's okay. You know, we can talk about that. That would be the only thing that I would say was the pricing of the Azure VMs that we can do it. Otherwise, pretty smooth experience, and I'm happy to discuss it with you guys, you know, offline once we finish in more depth if you want me to.
Okay. Thank you, Ali. Yeah. I'm gonna try to hustle on these last few slides. Again, come see us, please, if you have questions. I'm sure most users here, most folks in the room, that's not really applicable, but I just want to call out the fact that if you're 50 to 150 seats, you're eligible for the onboarding benefit. You're going to get migration guidance. to qualify for the help using the factory where we're going to stand up the infrastructure and do these things for you, you have to purchase at least 150 seats. Again, probably not a big deal for the folks in the audience, but just wanted to make sure you're aware that for to get the full benefit of the migration factory process and tooling, that's got to be 150 and above, eligible SKUs. Last bit, thank you all for staying. Everyone gets a Surface Pro 4. Yay! No, I'm just kidding. You can. You are giving it away. You come see us in the booth, three winners a day. I've seen it happen. You can be the one. You're going to get a Surface Pro 4 kit. There's like a cool Bose noise canceling headset and like a little jobber puck. That's all right. Sorry. But yeah, you can win. But maybe even more than that, come talk to us. We'll answer your deeper questions, get into the technical stuff, and get to know you. Okay, this is the typical end of the show where we say, hey, come check out our other sessions. It's really great. The reason why we can't cover everything here in 45 minutes is because we know we've got other sessions. So either you've seen it or maybe you can download it and learn more about Fast Track, not just about migrations. That's it. Any questions? Come on, see us. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, everyone. Mm-hmm. First question. Okay, so the question is, do the tools support rollback? So we will, as part of a migration event, if for whatever reason those users can't be successfully transitioned to the cloud, whether it be their mailbox or site, absolutely, yeah. So we can redo a migration window. What we won't do or have an offer around is, let's say we've already completed your entire migration end-to-end, and then you decide you want to maybe go back on-premises for whatever reason. That wouldn't be included as part of the benefit.
Thank you.
Thank you.